You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please go to realchicago.com. We continue our study in the book of Acts with Pastor Nathan Brown.
If you have your Bibles, if you have a digital Bible, you're going to have to do a whole lot more work. Normally, we put the verses up on the screen. You get to track along. So you're going to do a lot more bouncing back. I'm going to try to slow the way that I teach just a little bit to try to help you guys kind of catch up and so that you guys can track along with me. We're in Acts chapter 22. We're going to be going through verses 1 through 30. I'm going to tell you several times the points. I will review them again and again and again and again. So you're going to catch it the first time. Maybe you get the first point. When I review it again, maybe you get the first and the second point when I review it again. So when I go over a point, if you missed it, don't stress out. I'm going to come back to it again, okay? So points for today, there's 4 points in our sermon that we're going to be teaching. Point number one is why matters. Why, W-H-Y, matters. That's point number one, why matters. Point number two is you're lost without your why. Point number two is you're lost without your why. Point number one is why matters. And point number two is you're lost without your why. And point number three is remind yourself why. Remind yourself why. Okay, I'm going to go back again. Why matters? You're lost without your why. Remind yourself why. And number four is don't expect others to understand your why. Don't expect others to understand your why. Now, I'll come back. I'll review them again a couple more times. But when we're looking at chapter 22, in chapter 21, Paul goes through the process of trying to make people happy in Jerusalem. He comes in. He meets with the disciples. The disciples say, hey, there's a little bit of a problem going on. If you do these steps, it'll probably make people happy. It'll remind people that you love God, and it'll calm them down, and there's not going to be problems. So do us a favor, go do these things. And the Apostle Paul goes and does these things, but there's still an uprising. There's still a group of people who are unhappy. There's still a group of people who proclaim that Paul has done something that he hasn't done. There's a set of accusers who accuse him of something that he hasn't done. And a riot starts up, and it ends up that the Roman garrison has to come in, break up the fight and the riot, and they grab the person out of the middle of who's creating all the problems, and they start to drag him away. And as they're being dragged away, Paul, he says, hey, can I talk to this group of people? Now, if I'm the Roman centurion, the guy who's in charge, I'm thinking, why would you want to do that? Why would you want to speak to this group that wants to kill you? Why would you want to speak up? Why would you want to communicate to them? Why would they want to listen? I mean, there's a lot of whys. And for a lot of us, as we're going through Acts, especially once we hit Acts chapter 18, there's a lot of whys that are popping up in our heads. It's easier to handle Acts 1 through 17 than it is to handle Acts 18 through 27 and 28. It's a whole lot easier to pay attention when it's fun. It's a whole lot easier to pay attention when people are being healed. It's a whole lot easier to pay attention when things just seem to be going the direction we want to go. Now, let me kind of platform and jump off of last week's teaching from Pastor Mike. The 4 points that Mike taught last week were humbly with tears do the work of Jesus. Endure the trials to do the work of Jesus. Do what allows you to do the work of Jesus. And continue in faith to do the works of Jesus. So here we are in Acts 22, and things are getting difficult. Things are getting painful. Things are getting hard. And a lot of times in life, we run into the same things. When things are easy, man, it's easy to get up in the morning. When things are easy, it's okay if a bird is singing outside of your window. When things are easy, you don't mind that it's a red light. But when things are not easy, you want that bird killed. When things are not easy, it could be 11:30 at night and your neighbor is having a karaoke party in a language you don't understand, And it would help if maybe it was a language you didn't understand that the people could actually sing, but the people cannot sing, and it's in a language you can't understand. Like, I mean, it's just like, are you kidding me? And let's talk about this, the why. Why, God, right? Have you been there? Why, God? Why? 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 In 2005, Dr. Jack Groppel was teaching at the Leadership Summit at Willow Creek, and I had the opportunity of seeing it on video and being able to watch it. And for me, it was one of the most influential teachings that I ever heard, because Jack started to deal with a lot of the reasons of why. And one of the things I want you guys to understand is, why is it that it's hard for us to complete the mission? Why is it that it's difficult? Why is it that we quit when things get tough? Why is it that we want to run towards pleasure? Why is it that when just a little bit of doubt sinks in, it does massive amounts of havoc? Why? Well, Jack Groppel is a sports psychologist, and he works with really rich, rich, rich athletes. And these athletes have to have a mindset of forgetting what just happened and moving on to the next situation. If they're a golfer, the last shot doesn't matter. It's now this shot. If they're a tennis player, the last point doesn't matter. It's now this point. If they're a basketball player, the last defensive issue doesn't matter. If they're a football player, the last play doesn't matter. It's now this play. And this gentleman figured out that some of the best athletes are the people who have the ability to move on to the next issue, to the next play. The top athletes are constantly able to move on to the next play. The people who don't make it are the people who dwell on the last play. And so what Jack was trying to do with these multimillionaires is get them to move on to what is next and not be mired down on what just happened last. And so he did all these experiments to work with these athletes to find out why some of the top athletes could do it and why some of the other athletes couldn't do it. And he was trying to find a correlation in why. Why? And so he created this situation, and I've told our leadership team this story, and it just absolutely cracks me up. But he decided to create a mission. And so whatever group would come in, whether it was the Navy SEALs, whether it was the FBI, whether it was an NFL football team, whether it was a pro basketball, it didn't matter. Whatever group came in that was trying to be trained on completing the task, he would give them this test. He would bring them in the morning, and they're in Florida. And in Florida, they have some different canals that run along where their base of operations were. And what they would do is they would bring the group into the room and they would say, today you're going to go on a 3-mile run. And what we want you to do on this 3-mile run, it's really simple. It's really easy. We want you to run 1.5 miles down the canal, and we want you to touch the white fence, and we want you to come all the way back to base. So you're going to take 1.5 miles jog, whatever pace you run at. We want you to go and touch the white fence, and we want you to come back. Does everybody understand what the object for what we're trying to do is? And they would say, what are we going to do? Everybody said, we're going to touch the white fence. He goes, okay, so you're all going to go on a run and you're going to touch the white fence. But this is the moment that he messed with their brains. He said, but we've had news reports that recently there have been some alligators in the canals. Be careful on your run. Okay, go. So what they did was they put just a little bit of fear in their heads. Now, we're talking about 400-pound men that could rip an alligator apart, that are running in a group of 8 men. We're talking about massively intelligent Navy SEALs. We're talking about people in the FBI. So what they're doing is they start to run on this course. And as they're running on the course, Dr. Jack took one of his people in his office and put them in the bushes about 1 mile into the run. And some of you guys are there. You're already there. So some of you guys, if you were there and you were heard in the room, you're going to run 1.5 miles. You need to touch the white fence and come back. Oh, by the way, be careful. There could be alligators. For 1.5 miles, as you run towards the fence, what are you thinking about? Alligators. So these huge, and I'm gonna post the video on Facebook. So later on today, you guys can watch the video of massively huge linemen in the NFL running down the canal, and a person in the bushes shaking the bushes. What do you think happened to these men as they're running? They're laughing. They think it's funny. They're looking. Then all of a sudden, the bushes shake. What happened in their mind? Immediately in their mind, the largest alligator that exists is in there. Doubt and fear take over. And what do you think these big, massive men end up doing? They turn around and they run home. They get all the way back in the room, and Dr. Jack knows what's going to happen. And he says to him, okay, tell me what happened. They're like, well, we were running, and there was an alligator, and we came running back. And he's like, did you touch the white fence? No, we didn't touch the white fence. And he goes, why? Well, because there was an alligator in the trees. And Dr. Jack would go, but your job was to what? Touch the white fence. Did you complete your mission? Did you do what you were supposed to do? And all of these athletes would go, absolutely not. There was an alligator in the tree. To which Dr. Jack introduced the alligator to them, and they were embarrassed. Many of us, God has called us to things that we're not paying attention to the white fence. We're not paying attention to the object that we're supposed to complete. We're not paying attention to the mission. We're looking for alligators in the bushes. Just let that sit for a moment. Why is it that one of Satan's biggest weapons is doubt? In Genesis, the fall, Satan comes to the woman and says, is that really what God said? Doubt. Why is it that doubt owns you and me? Why is it that fear of something that it could massively be that it never is paralyzes us? Why is it that fear keeps us from completing the mission? Completing the mission in our marriages. Completing the mission in our relationships and our friendships. Completing the mission in our jobs at work. Completing our spiritual missions of what God called us to do. And here we have the same situation with Paul, and he's got to figure out why. Now, for most of us, the reason why we don't touch the white fence is we can't remember why we're doing what we're doing. We don't understand why it's important. For some of us, we struggle loving our spouses because we've forgotten why we love them. Let me say that again. Some of us have forgotten to love our spouses because we forgot why we loved them in the first place. And the things that we loved in the beginning, now they're big, huge pains. Because we just thought that once they were married, God would change them. I got news for you. God hasn't changed you either. He's not going to change them. But no. You don't understand, Pastor Nathan. My issues as a spouse are not as bad as my spouse's issues. You think, because you're conceited and arrogant, and you love living with you. But to your spouse, they're just as painful. Okay? Sorry, my wife is laughing a lot, but she's thinking of all of my issues. And maybe she's being spiritual and she's laughing about hers. I don't know. But it's your why. In verse 1 in 22, Paul starts to go into why. Why does he ask to start speaking? Why does he start going into this? And this is why I believe he does. Because why matters. He is explaining why he's doing what he's doing. He starts to share why he's doing what he's doing so he doesn't get lost. He shares why he's doing what he's doing so he can remind himself of what he's got to do. And he shares why, not expecting them to understand. So let's jump into it. Verse 1. It says, brothers and fathers, hear the defense that I now make before you. He starts to address them. Now, he's being yanked away by all these guards, these Roman, soldiers, and he decides to pause, and this crazy riotous group kind of calms down to listen. It says, when they heard that he was addressing them in Hebrew language, they became even more quiet. When he started to speak to them in their language, they started to listen more. And he lists out in verse 3. He says, I'm a Jew born in Tarsus, brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of your fathers, being zealous for God, as all of you are this day. Then he jumps into verse 4. He says, I persecuted this way to death. He's like, you guys know who I am. I was against this. He says, I was binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear witness. In other words, he's looking at a bunch of people he used to work with, his coworkers. He's like, you know who I am. You know what I used to do. He says, from them I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take those also who were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished. In other words, he's saying, I was sent on a mission by this group to this city. Verse 6, he starts to testify. He starts to speak about why he's doing what he's doing. He says, as I was on my way and drew near to Damascus about noon, a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me. And I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now let's just stop there for a moment. Paul is remembering his why he's doing what he's doing. Paul is remembering his moment when God showed up and called him. Paul is remembering the event of what occurred when Paul realized this is the new direction for my life. And so he's telling them what he remembers. He's testifying to what God has done in his life. And he's doing this, why? So that he doesn't get lost. Some of us need to keep revisiting and going back to our calling so we don't get lost. When was the last time you went back and you remembered your calling? When was the last time, for those of you who are married, you went back and you looked at your wedding photos? When was the time you went back and you remembered when your spouse asked you to marry them? For parents with kids, when you wished they weren't there, when did you go back and look at their baby pictures? The cute ones, right? When you remembered saying to your spouse, I want children, and your spouse said, you really? And you're like, yeah, it's going to be great. Go back and remember. Why? Because sometimes we get lost, right? 2 years ago, a lady was walking on the Appalachian Trail, and she was traveling, and she was almost to the end of the process. And the person she was traveling with got bad news and was told to go home and to deal with her family, and this lady decided that she would continue hiking on. And she decided that she would continue going on the Appalachian Trail. The problem is, and I'm not trying to attack this poor lady, but the problem is this lady had poor directional sense. Have you been around people that have poor directional sense? Okay, some of you guys are those people, okay? I've been around you. You're like, yeah, the moon is over there. That moon? Yeah. But what happened was this lady decided that she was going to hike the Appalachian Trail alone. It doesn't end well. The lady at some point in time had to use the restroom, and so she wanted to be modest, so she left the trail to go use the restroom, and she got lost. Search and rescue people. She was supposed to meet her husband at this next stop in the road, and she never showed up. And so the husband called the police, and they searched for 2 years to find her. Most recently, this last week, she was found by the Forestry Service. She was 2 miles off of the trail. They found her journal. They found her cell phone. They found the records of what she was trying to send out and how she was trying to communicate and what she was trying to do. But what happened to her was she got off the trail. Something simple. She wanted to use the restroom. But when you get off of what you're supposed to do, you can get lost. And Paul is constantly saying what he's supposed to do so he doesn't get lost. The verse before, verse 24 in chapter 21, when the prophets came to Paul and said, Paul, you shouldn't go to Jerusalem, being used by the Holy Spirit is speaking into them and through them to Paul and says, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. The problem is that Paul has had a face-to-face with Jesus. The problem is Paul knows how his story ends. And even though people are prophesying something different, he's had a connection with Jesus and he knows it doesn't change. And we're going to see that in a moment. In verse 9, not everyone hears what's going on. Verse 9, now those who were with me saw the light. They saw the light. But they did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. People may see the spiritual action, but they don't hear what's going on. Some people may see somebody get healed, but that won't lead them to Christ. They won't hear the spiritual message. And sometimes I just think, well, if they just see, they'll believe. And Scripture says that's not true. This whole group of people traveling with Paul saw and didn't know what was going on. Verse 10, Paul replies, what shall I do, Lord? Some of you guys, if you go back and you remember your why, when God called you and put you on mission, you asked God a simple question. God, what do you want me to do? And God told you. Some of you are getting off the trail and you need to return back to the trail. Some of you have forgotten your why and you return back to your why. 4 years ago, I was sitting in my office and a worship leader at my old church came into my office and said, Pastor Nathan, actually it's 5 years now, Pastor Nathan, God keeps telling me you need to go back to your calling. You need to go back to that moment when God called you and God spoke to you. You need to go back because there's something there, Nathan, that you're missing. You've forgotten why God called you. I'm a pastor. I'm in my office. I'm doing pastoral things. And I'm looking at this person like, what do you mean I've forgotten my calling? And they looked at me and said, Nathan, God is saying, go back and review your calling. And I had to go back to Japan. I had to go back to a rice field in Hiroshima. I had to go back to that moment and go, God, what is it that you said that I have forgotten, that I have missed, and that I am not doing, that I'm not being obedient to? And so I want to share with you guys, wherever you are in your spiritual journey, there's going to be moments where you get off and you've got to get back on. The danger is that you stay off the trail too long. The danger is that you go too far away from where you're supposed to be. And you can ultimately get lost. It says, God, what shall I do? And the Lord said to me, rise and go to Damascus. And there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do. And since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand of those who were with me. Do you see the humility in that? Do you see that Paul was broken down? Do you see that Paul lost his sight? Do you see that everything that made Paul, Paul, was pretty much taken from him? Now, we know in Scripture that he had to wait 3 days for Ananias to show up. And when God showed up to Ananias and says, Ananias, go lay hands on Paul. Ananias says, oh, that's not a good idea, God. That's a bad idea. Do you know that he imprisons people? Do you know that he puts people to death? I don't want to go visit him. I've got plans. I've got vacation plans this summer, God. We're going to the Sea of Galilee. It's supposed to be really beautiful. And then we're going to go float in the Dead Sea. I hear you can't sink. Come on, God. I don't want to do this. Right? Verse 12, and one Ananias, a devout man, a man who listened to God, a man who was obedient to God, a man who said, God, this is a bad idea, but I'm going to go do it. According to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me, and standing by me, he said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very hour, I received my sight, and I saw him. And he said, the God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one and to hear the voice from his mouth. for you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. That's pretty powerful. Paul's pretty arrogant. Paul's pretty prideful. Paul's pretty jealous. And for Paul to break and for Paul to snap and for Paul to fall on his face and for Paul to go be baptized again, Paul was a Jew. You don't go get baptized again. That's something for other people to join Judaism. I don't need to go do that. And for Paul to cower and humbly go do exactly what he was told was huge. Why? Why would Paul do that? Why would he go in that direction? Why is Paul telling them this information? Again, Paul is reminding himself why. Paul knows that why matters. Paul knows that when you have forgotten why, you get lost. And Paul knows that he needs to remind himself why. And Paul also knows that even though the guys on the journey with him saw the light, he doesn't expect them to understand his why. His why is a unique calling, just like your why is a unique calling. The problem is that we're all junior hires spiritually. We want to be super unique, but we want to do the same thing as everybody else. So in church, we've got this plan of being an aircraft carrier. Okay, let me unpack this again. Let me remind you of what this is. Most churches are institutional. It means you're here to serve the institution. Most of you guys have institutional jobs. Your job is to serve the institution. What we want to do is flip it. We want to make church about you. We want to make church about the body of Christ. We want to find out what God has called you to, your why, and we want to encourage you in your why. Simple question. Why would we do that? Because the other way is not working. The other way is not working. We have bigger and bigger and bigger churches than we've ever had, doing massively huge programs, and we are not reaching America for Christ. Do you know what's happening? Small churches are dying, and the big churches are taking them in. Growth is happening by adoption. Growth is not happening by new birth. Why? Because Christians have forgotten their why. Christians have forgotten that we are ambassadors of the gospel. Christians have forgotten that we have friendships so that we can tell people about Christ. And we've forgotten our why. We think we're friends with them so that we can be good friends. We think we're friends with them because maybe, just maybe, there might be a spiritual conversation that comes up at some point in time. We think we're friends with them because maybe that will help our growth in our business. Some of you guys were reading in Revelations this week, right? You were reading Revelation 2, verse 4. And God is talking to the churches. And he says to this one church, he says, you're doing pretty good, but I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. You have forgotten why. Doesn't that happen sometimes in our lives? I've forgotten why I'm married. I've forgotten why I want to be a pastor. I've forgotten why I'm in Chicago. I've forgotten why. Haven't you forgotten why? But taking it back to Jack Grapple, what he tried to work with these athletes, was getting back to why as fast as possible. And as Christians, we have to work on that. Yes, you're going to doubt. Yes, you're going to be stressed. Yes, you're going to worry. But how long do you let it own you? If you let worry own you for 20 seconds, you'll be able to recover. You let worry own you for 3 minutes, you're going to have a rough day. You let worry own you for 5 hours, you're going to have a rough week. You let worry own you for 5 days, you're going to have a rough month. You let worry own you for a month, you're going to have a rough year. Do you guys understand what I'm trying to say? You let something like that sneak into your life and you let it have time in your life, it is exponentially more difficult to clean it up the longer you let it sit. And so here's Paul, going to be jailed. And he is reminding himself why. Verse 17, when I had returned to Jerusalem and I was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance and I saw him saying, him, Jesus, I saw him saying, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly because they will not accept your testimony about me. Wait a minute, God. I thought you were with me. We had this huge moment. The light came out. It shone. I got blinded. I had 3 days I had to go through pain. Ananias had to show up. He prayed. Scales fell off my eyes. It was an amazing thing. And now you're telling me it's going to get rough? And it's supposed to get easy because, like, you're God. And, like, you have ordained things. And, like, you're going to make it easy. And the Lord said, they themselves know. Well, Paul responds back to God. It says, they know themselves that in one synagogue after another, I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. So he's saying, how come they're not going to be with me? And when the blood of Stephen, your witness, was being shed, I myself was standing by, approving and watching over the garments of those who killed him. And he said to me, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Now, during this time, the whole crowd's been quiet. But once they realize that they now feel insulted again, they're waiting to be insulted. They're waiting to find a problem. Have you been around that person? Have you been around that person who's just waiting to find a problem? Their anti-spiritual gift is criticism and being critical. Have you been around that person? They're just, hey, what a beautiful day. Yeah, but it's not 73. It's too humid. Were you here this winter? Do you remember when it was 20? This is amazing. Okay? And once Paul says, I'm being sent out to the Gentiles, the trigger hits. And this is a group of people who don't care about the Gentiles. They've gotten way off of their why. They've forgotten that God wanted to call Israel to be an example to all nations about who he was, so their lifestyle would point everybody else to God. They've forgotten their why. They think it's all about them and nobody else. Have you been in that church with those Christians? I've been in that church. I've been sitting in a seat where someone has come and tapped me on the shoulder and told me I was sitting in their seat. That's where they sit each Sunday. I didn't realize your name was on this pew. Holy crap, your name is on this pew. Have you been in that church where they have their names on the pew? Oh my gosh. I know of churches that you actually had to pay for your box seats to get the good seats. In Baptist churches, those would be the seats in the back. We'd charge big money for the last three rows. So according to your tithes and offerings, the less you gave, the closer you'd be to me, right? Now, I'm not being super rude, but we're not going to play musical chairs according to what we give. But some of you, if you want the back seats, you've got to go to that. No, we're not going to that church. We're not. Again, forgot the why. Okay? Up to this word, they had listened to him in verse 22. Then they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live. And as they were shouting and throwing off their cloaks and flinging dust into the air, the tribune ordered him to be brought into the barracks. Now, I underline this part in the scripture, and I want you to understand this. People who've lost their why usually lose their minds. Okay? People who've lost their minds say some of the most ridiculous things. Well, God only helps those who help themselves. That's not scriptural at all. That's more Reader's Digest. Okay? Well, God wants me to be happy. No, that's Joel Osteen. That's not anywhere in scripture. God wants you to be obedient. That's what he wants. But notice what they do. They start shouting. They start doing this big, huge ruckus. They start creating this big, huge mass commotion. Basically, what they're doing is they're throwing an adult temper tantrum. They've covered their ears, and they're going, la, 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 la. Have you been around Christians that cover their ears when they're being told truth that they don't want to hear it? Have you been that Christian? I've been that Christian. I've been that Christian. I've been in bed, comfortable. It's all comfy. It's great. I'm there. And I'm like, oh, this is like the best. And God's like, hey, get out of bed. I want to talk to you. La, 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 la. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. This pillow is so soft. This pillow is so soft. Nathan, get out of bed. Can't hear you. Can't hear you. Can't hear you, God. God, I'll talk to you in the morning. It'll be a great quiet time with coffee. Have you done that? Yeah, you've done that. Some of you don't even know God was talking to you. You're so far off the trail, you don't even know God's voice anymore. This group really doesn't know God's voice. Saying that he should be examined by flogging to find out why they were shouting against him. But when they had stretched him out for the whips, okay, so this whole process, so they drag Paul back inside, they tie him up, they stretch him out, you know, because they don't want to work too much. You know, they're union soldiers. They got to make sure it's a perfect hit, okay? They stretch him out and find out why they're shouting against him like this. But when they had stretched him out, Paul said to the centurion who's standing by, again, Paul's so casual. Michael was telling a funny joke. You know, they've got him up on his chest, and Paul's like, you know, being carried, and he just turns. He's like, is it cool if I share something? Now, Paul's absolutely stretched out, and he just casually turns, and he says this. He says, is it lawful for you to flog a man who's a Roman citizen and uncondemned? When the centurion heard this, he went to the tribune and said to him, what are you about to do? For this man is a Roman citizen. Now, I want you guys to understand, Roman citizenship at this point in time is the pinnacle. In other words, these men, if they flogged Paul, could be beaten and killed because they broke the respect of a Roman citizen. So these men are about to get in massive trouble because they're about to inflict harm on somebody who's a Roman citizen. Now, I would present this to you. What's a higher citizenship? Being a son and daughter of the king or being a Roman citizen? Some of us inflict massive bodily harm and damage on a daughter or a son of the king, and we don't think anything of it. But these Roman workers, these soldiers realize this isn't something you're supposed to do. Verse 27, so the tribune came to him and said, tell me, are you a Roman citizen? And he said, yes. And the tribune answered, I bought this citizenship for a large sum. In other words, I wasn't a Roman citizen. I had to save massive amounts of money. I understand how prized this is. This is special, is what he's communicating. But Paul said, I am a citizen by birth. Whoa, you didn't buy yours. You're a citizen by birth. So those who were about to examine withdrew from him immediately. And the tribune also was afraid, for they realized that Paul was a Roman citizen and that they had bound him. Sometimes we get in the way of other people's whys. It's dangerous to get in the way of other people's spiritual whys. If God has called somebody to do something, I, as a pastor, am not going to stand in the way. Why? Because I don't want to get busted by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Holy Spirit, who says, Nathan, if I told them to do that, who are you to say don't do it? But I listen to Christians give flippant advice constantly. I want to pull a Mike Parcio and just get a face of Mike with his eyebrow raised up that says, did you pray about that? Right? Because sometimes as Christians, we throw things out that was nowhere near prayer. And we say things like, well, if it was me, guess what, guys? I don't care if it's you. It's not you. It's not your why. It's not your calling. Your calling is unique. Your advice to them has absolutely no application because you're not even doing what you're supposed to do, and you're going to give them advice about, no, that doesn't work. Same thing in the citizenship moment. These Romans realize, uh-oh, we're backing up. We're not going to do this. And some of us, when it comes to somebody else's spiritual life and their why, we need to be very gracious and careful and take a step back and ask the king, what do you want me to say, if anything? That includes your spouse. Husbands, just because you're in charge doesn't mean you get to tell your spouse how God's going to use them. Wives, just because you want to be in charge or just because you're depending on your spouse, your husband, doesn't mean you get to tell your husband what to do. Each of you have overstepped your spot. Your spot is, you're the king, what do you want to do with us? You're the king, what do you want to do with me? You're the king, what do you want to do with them? How can I support what you're doing with them? That's the way it works. But I fall into the same trap. I'm like, oh my gosh, God, would you please help this woman you gave me? She's praying, oh my gosh, God, would you please help this man that you gave me? Because sometimes God tells Danielle things he doesn't tell me. Let me change that. A lot of the times, God tells Danielle things he doesn't tell me. Do you know why? Because he doesn't need to tell me. Do you know why? It's about Danielle's obedience. It's not about my obedience. Do you know why? I need to trust my God, and I need to trust my wife. Those are huge, right? And so we have the same situation of reviewing our why. And then verse 30, it says, but on the next day, just transitions, but on the next day, desiring to know the real reason why he was being accused by the Jews, he unbound him, this is the tribune, unbound him and commanded the chief priests and all the council to meet. And he brought Paul down and set him before them. And just like Mike did last week, another cliffhanger. We stop there. We just stop. So here's Paul being in prison for something he didn't do. Why? Because God ultimately wants Paul to go to Rome. And this is the way God's going to take him there. Why does God want it done this way? I don't know. I have no idea why God wants it to go this way. But I know you can't fight God on what he wants. Right? I know that if God decides this is the way it's going to be, guess what's going to happen? It's the way it's going to be. In Proverbs, it says, man makes plans, but God still does what he's going to do. Some of us are making plans absent of God. We've gotten lost, we've gotten away from our why, and we've got to return back. Okay? So here's our application. Point number one was why matters. Point number two is you're lost without your why. Point number three is remind yourself why. And point number four is don't expect others to understand your why. Okay? I'm that guy on point number four that desperately wants everyone to agree with me. I've been that way since I was young. I'm big into big, huge groups. I'm big into crowds. I want everybody to approve of what I'm doing. I want everybody to like me. And when people don't like me and people don't approve of what I'm doing, my life is miserable. But there's some times where God's like, no, your life is going to be miserable because I want to know if you'll follow me even if everybody else won't follow you. Right? Been there? It's not fun. So here's our application. Point number one was why matters. And our first application on point number one is know why you do what you do. So the application is this week, I want you to think about why do you do what you do? Why do you love your wife? Why do you love your husband? Why do you love your roommates? Why do you love your job? Why do you love this city? Why are you in this city? Start to go back. Forget about your complaints. Forget about your long list of pros and cons or whatever. Go back to why. Go to your calling. On moments when I'm incredibly selfish, I go back to my vows with my wife and remember that I stood in front of my parents and my friends and I said, I will sacrifice my life for this woman. And there are days I don't want to sacrifice for her. But I go back to my why and I do it. I'm sure there are days where she has to go back. But first application is know why you do what you do. Point number two was you're lost without your why. So application, when you're lost, return back to your why. We're all going to get lost for different moments of time. We're all going to get lost for a moment. Okay, have you been there? Have you ever been in a group where you were with a large group of people and you turned to look at something and you turn around and nobody was there? Right? Okay? I've been there, right? Like, oh my goodness. Now, I know where I'm standing, but the group that I want to be with is now not here. So I got to find where that group is and I've got to reconnect to that group. Some of us, we got to get back in the Word and reading our scripture. Some of us, we need to get back to singing worship songs. Some of us, we need to make sure that we don't skip being in church on Sunday. We don't give up gathering together with believers. We got to make sure that when we do gather together, and it's between Monday and Saturday, that our conversations aren't just about kids. That our conversations are about, this is what God's teaching me. This is where I'm really being challenged this week. Can you pray for me for this? Rather than discussing the amount of hops that are in beer. It doesn't matter. I'm sorry, Rocky. It doesn't matter. Okay? But if you think about the things we talk about that are eternal versus the things that we talk about that don't matter, we've got to change that, okay? Number three, remind yourself why. Remind yourself why to stay focused so that when you're running on the canal and the object is to touch the white fence, you do what? Touch the white fence. What's funny is Jack Groppel tells a story that he brought a group of FBI, a team of FBI agents in. And he did the whole spiel with the FBI agents. And because they're super top secret undercover, he couldn't film them and he couldn't show their faces. But he tells a story of what happened with this group. Now, this group are finely tuned individuals who understand teamwork, who understand the job, and they understand that if they don't do their job, people die. Right? So this is what? This is like the AAA plus team, okay? So he tells them the whole spiel, tells them to go run. So they're on their run and they're on their journey, and he sends out his staff member into the trees. And so they're running, and right at that one spot where the guy's in the trees and he's getting ready to shake it, he shakes the tree. And what do you think this highly tuned group of combat specialists did? You guys any ideas? Just think about it for a moment. In your head, what do you think they did? Okay? I'm going to tell you what they did. They attacked the tree. They went at the tree because whatever's in there is going to die because we've got to kill it so we can go touch the white fence. And the poor staff member in the tree screams, no, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. It's just a lesson. It's just a lesson. And what do you think that those finely tuned FBI agents did? They looked at the person, all right, and they went and touched the white fence and they came back. Many of you, God is training to be so focused and to be so into what you're doing that it's not going to matter if there's an alligator in the bushes. It's not going to matter if there's a gorilla swimming in the canal. You know your job is to what? Touch the white fence. You know what your mission is. You know what you're supposed to do. And sure, the enemy is going to try to put doubt in your head that, ooh, there's something spooky in the bushes. My hope is that you're standing with fellow Christians that will turn and look at the bushes and go, come, let's do this. Let's dance. No, no, no. You stay in the bushes because you're scared. Because I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who has a plan for my life that wants to use me, and his will is going to move forward regardless of what's scary in the bushes. Amen? That's where many of us are at. Some of you guys, you've been trained. You now know what to do. You've run the same dumb canal like 15 times, and you get there and you're like, I know what's there. I know, oh, I'm scared. I'm going back. But now you've gotten to the point that you're coming to it and you're like, I know what's there. No, come here, let's dance. Because I'm touching the white fence. I'm going to complete what I've been called to do. Okay? Remind yourself so you can stay focused, so you can complete the task. Number four, don't expect others to understand your why. And I'm going to wrap up with this. It's okay if others don't understand your why. I'll ask Holly and Danielle to come up. Guys, you are unique and God has a unique mission for you. The question is can you define your call? Articulate it. Can you communicate it? Now, here are key things. What I respect in our church is very few of you guys throw around the God statement. Well, God said. When I was a kid, God said a lot of stuff in our church that he never said. And I learned as a PK when someone was like, well, God says, yeah, you're speaking for God in this moment. But there are some times in our church where you guys know what God has said. And the way I know that God has said something to you is, number one, you don't want to do it. Number two, your face tells me you don't want to do it. And number three, it's going to take more faith than you have to do it. But when someone comes to me and they tell me, well, God said this, and it's going to bring them more pleasure, and it's going to bring them less effort, and it's going to be more work for everybody else, I doubt that's what God said. Make sense? So let me pray for you guys real quick. Again, many of you guys are getting it. You're understanding what Paul is going through, and you're going to make it. You're going to touch the white fence. You're going to complete the mission, okay? Let me pray that God would bless us with the integrity and the courage to complete the mission. Mighty God, you are good, and you are a trainer. And God, you have a plan for each one of us to accomplish the individual unique mission that you've given us. God, bless us with the courage, bless us with the energy, and bless us with the reminder of why we've been called to do what you've called us to do. God, restore in us our mission. Restore in us our marriages. Restore in us our parenting. Restore in us our friendships. Restore in us in our job so that we might be obedient to you and you receive all the glory. It's your name we pray. Amen.